Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snack Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
Welcome back to the Starting Five Podcast on Grease the Bread Blues Podcast Network. I am the one P Sharp with the guys.
Oh, yeah, man. I'm used to like waiting for me. But it's really Sheedy holding it down in the four spot. And as I guess stretching out to the two and the three, too.
Yeah, we're playing a three on three ball right now. Your man, Jeff Shakir, still holding it down in the middle. Y'all know me.
Yep. Playing three on three because it's none other than Skyler, Mr. Skylito's birthday on the day of this recording on Saturday. So wish him a happy birthday, rest of the Grizz fam. And Mr. Trevor, he's out today as well. So please man, give him a shout out. If y'all please remember list of the podcasts on the network, 3&D Podcast, Core 4 Podcast, and GBB Live. And just follow Grizzly Bear Blues at SBN Grizzlies on Twitter. And follow us, Star Team 5, the number 5 MEM on Twitter as well. So it's been a week. I thought we was about to go on a seven game losing streak at one point, but they won. They snuck one in against the Charlotte Hornets. In between two losses, start off with the Toronto Raptors, another blown lead. We were up 95-85 when their coach Nick Nurse got ejected, and Toronto proceeded to go on a 43-18 run from that point forward at the end of third quarter through the rest of the fourth to beat us by like 15 points or something. Then, 128-113. Then Charlotte, we had a franchise record 23 three-pointers, led by none other than who? Slow-mo, Kyle Anderson with 6-for-8.
Who would have known?
Right. 27 points, all from the same spot, might I add, in that corner in front of Charlotte's bench.
Mm-hmm.
Damn. Finished off with the cheating Lakers, since I saw my timeline throughout the night. I never get to catch the game, but yeah, I saw just the referees. A lot of stuff. We led 22-2 to start that game and led by 15 at halftime or 13 at halftime and ended up losing by 10. So 1-2 weeks so far. This episode, happy Valentine's Day. Yes, this episode will be released on Sunday and we will preview the Kings game on that night as well coming up. But first, let's review the week. 1-2. How y'all feeling about the Grizzlies after that three game stretch?
I was hoping to have them stop the bleeding against the Raptors, right? And that didn't happen. We lost to them, but at least we did bounce back and beat a, I don't want to say like a real Charlotte Hornets team, but a better Charlotte Hornets team than I think I expected before the season began. And then to lose to the Lakers the way we did, you hate to say the refs, but the referees do play a part in the game of basketball. Overall, I feel okay about the team. There's two things I have a problem with the team right now. My two things are the transition basketball, whether that's transition offense or transition defense. We just don't look complete during that time. And next game, you guys will look at it more or less. It's like when we get back on defense, we're not where we need to be. Offense not filling the lanes. Of course, we don't have too many shooters, but when we do have shooters, not getting to their spots when we have a, you know, 4-on-3 or 4-on-2 fast break. The other part of it too is how we closing and ending quarters. Those last 4 minutes and beginning 4 minutes against the Lakers, we did really well in those first 4 minutes, right? But how you start and how you close quarters is something that a good coach, experienced coach, is always going to put forth more effort into, because it really carries you throughout the game. In basketball, you're going to go, you know, back and forth, but those closeouts and the beginnings of quarters are very, very huge spots in the game.
Man, one thing that we saw on Twitter for sure this week was the great question of who's our best wing defender, right? And my vote was DeAnthony Melton, of course, but he's injured. So a lot of people will say, well, Dylan Brooks, right? But let me just say this, man. Hall of Fame Van Vliet, as one of our partners would say with the Let's Be Real podcast, Savage, he put up 32 on us. You know what I'm saying? Noah Powell put up 29. Top 10 Lowry didn't have a good game, but it is what it is. Then the next game with the Hornets, even though we won, Terry Rozier put up 34. Like, come on, y'all. Like, we gotta do it.
Put some respect on Scary Terry. He put up 41 last night.
He's hot. But I'm calling out defensively. I want to call out Dylan Brooks. We talk a lot about how he's supposed to be this great offensive juggernaut, or the people, the fans, whatever you want to put that. But defensively, he's supposed to be just as better. You know what I'm saying? He's supposed to be energetic. You know, Savage also could point out the point that fake defense, right? Just a lot of moving, but no get to where you're supposed to be, still leaving shooters open. Like, for these two stretches supposed to happen over the last two games, we have to talk about the Lakers. Like, they really, you know, Schroeder put up 2 points, yay. But Anthony Davis treated us like a little baby with 35. So, you know what I'm saying? It's like, where are our perimeter defenders? We have to, we're a top defensive team. But Dylan Brooks, like, you got to step it up, bro. Ain't no way in hell that the regular shooting guards that should be lining us up for 20, 30 a night. It's as simple as that. So, and shout out, of course, the coach had to make, you know, lineup changes. Coach Hicks had to make lineup changes because Brandon Clark's one of our most offensive tees out. So we do have to find different ways to, you know, to score the ball, which is why I keep saying start Grayson Allen. We saw what he did, you know, in his first start against the Lakers. He put up, what, 23? Even though I don't think he'll put up 23, you know, a game, like, start the man. I'd rather Grayson Allen take 20 shots than Dylan Brooks. And I would love to debate anybody on this. And if y'all would agree on me, then therefore you start Grayson Allen. My big, and you know, I hate everybody else, you know, because I like to talk about this one. But Kyle Anderson starting at the three, going forward when everybody's healthy, I do see happening. And I think our best lineup will be Ja Morant, you know, Slow-mo, JJ, JV, and Grayson Allen. Call me on that.
Who is JJ? I'm playing. I've come to the point that I don't acknowledge Justice and Jaren until I see them play. That's just me personally. Right. When I think about the Grizzlies season, I don't even think it about them too. It's like, all right, going forward, this is what we need to do here. This lineup I'm looking forward going to until I actually physically see them on the court in the game. But the thing is,
we know that Jaren is a part of our future. We know for sure that Jaren Jackson is going to be a Memphis Grizzlies. Like, we love. He loves us. Like, we know for sure going forward. So I get that. Yeah. But Justice.
But I have to make, right.
He's just a rental.
Came back on out.
Yeah. Right. And I'm going to wait to the end of the season. We're probably going to have to talk more about Jaren's injury history as well going forward. But we have to wait to the season and see what happens, how it plays out. But back to your point with the Toronto game. Kyle Lowry actually left that game in the first quarter with an injury.
Yeah, he left it.
So that's even more embarrassing. They're missing arguably their best player, and that coach got ejected, and then they outplayed us the rest of the way.
They turned up.
Right.
Fred
VanVleet went off and against a sorry lineup, but yeah, then now Grayson was part of the lineup, but he had him and Conchar, and it was just a lineup that was like, come on, bro. Like, then he took so long to put Ja and JV back in. Because, I mean, I think they fell behind by 7 points before he even put them back in. I was like, bro, once they tied the game up, they should have been coming in. Like, come on, we were just up by 10.
Yeah, call time. So, get a man, sub, something.
Right. So it seemed like the Grizzlies have to, the Charlotte game, it seemed like you just going to have to shoot 20. You're going to have to hit 23 threes in order to win. Now, obviously, injuries play a part. Brandon Clark was out. I mean, that came out the blue when he got out for the New Orleans game. Then Melton got hurt in the game. So, about both of them are out. along with the other names that I'm not going to mention anymore, then you just gotta, it's just like, then Bane, he missed the game against the Lakers, and he's probably gonna miss the Sacramento game because of personal reasons. Keep him in your prayers. I think his grandmama or great grandmama had died, so he's back home tending to family matters. So it's like, dog, we just can't catch a break with injuries. But despite injuries, the New Orleans game and that Toronto game were inexcusable. We can't let a team go on a 43-18 run after their best, arguably best player and coach get out the game and gets New Orleans a 20-2 run when we was up by 7 in the fourth quarter. Like, those two things can't happen. Injuries or not, you outplayed the other team. Like, that's, they got to clean that stuff up. Charlotte, you can say they cleaned it up, but not really. They just outshot them. Be honest. The first half was no defense. Third quarter, they played a little bit. They played some defense. Because I think Charlotte scored like 12 points in that quarter. So they did step up a little bit in third. But, I mean, once you hit all them threes, Charlotte probably just got deflated, to be honest. Like, Kyle Anderson hitting those threes, they were like, oh, come on now. Yeah, he could shoot, but it's like 6 threes. Come on. They probably got deflated and said, nah, we can't do this.
And then to think about this week, too, I think the third quarter hurt us in all those games, too. I feel like we got outplayed in the third quarter of all the games, and that's heading into the fourth quarter, you know, into the end of the game as well. So I don't know what we got to do differently. Lineup, I don't know if it's lineup-wise. Like I said, Bane being out after having, like, a crucial two-game stretch, that hurts, too, but the third quarter is when you come back out from halftime with the adjustments, Coach, and I need to see something better against the teams that we just got done playing, man.
Yep. And to your point, CD, I think the Charlotte game, and we won the one game we did. I played the team in the third quarter. That was the Charlotte game. Like I said, our defense stepped up. They only scored like 12 points. But to your point, the Toronto game, it was towards the end of third quarter, but then again, that's important. Like, you need to play all 12 minutes, all 48 minutes. They were about 10. I think Toronto got within 5 or 3 by the time the fourth quarter started. Then Lakers, we was up by 13, and we were down by 5. Now, of course, the Lakers turned up. It's LeBron, AD. They just said, all right, second half, we about to turn up. And also, like I said, I see a lot of referees, foul discrepancies, all that. But the Grizzlies did have a lot of turnovers as well that I heard. So, I mean, I don't never like to blame the refs for games. I didn't watch it, so I can't really truly just say, hey, I know the refs cheated. Of course, fans going to say that on Twitter. With me, I'm like, the Grizzlies, you can't blow 22-2. You can't be up 22-2. I don't, LeBron, AD, I don't care. 22-2, and you lose by 10? Come on now. I know it's the Lakers without. But
who's guarding AD?
Anyway. Right, yeah. I mean, apparently nobody. But when you think about it, our four best defenders are hurt. I mean, Jaren, Justice hasn't played for us, but he's supposed to be defense, right? Jaren is arguably one of our best defenders, definitely our best slow post defender. And then BC and Melton, like you said, Melton might be our best guard defender, and BC is one of the best defenders. So arguably our four, a top 4 or 5 best defenders are even playing. So that hurts as well with defense. But let's go ahead and get who our star of the week is going to be. Me personally, I had a choice between four. Ja, JV, Grayson, and Kyle Anderson, and I ain't gonna lie to you. I can't choose. Now, I think I've chosen Ja and Grayson before, so I'm gonna choose a different one between Kyle and JV. I'm gonna go with JV. He had a 27-22 game against Toronto. He had another like 15 rebound game, I think like 15 rebounds, I think 18 points or so. He had another double double against Charlotte, and against Lakers, he had another 22 point game. What was 15?
Yeah, 12 and 15.
Yep. And against the Lakers, he had 22-8, if I ain't mistaken. So I'm gonna go with JV. He just fresh off of that, coming off of COVID, and dating back to the New Orleans game last Saturday, he had. If he did have a double double that game, he had close to it. He had like 14 in the first quarter. So I give it to JV this week, only because Kyle only had like single digits against the Lakers, but 27 points from Kyle against Charlotte, it was kind of hard to choose JV over him on that one. And like I said, Grayson had a great week. And Ja had a pretty good week bouncing back from New Orleans as well, but I go with JV.
So, yeah, my name is Slow Mo Express today. And I, too, kind of battle with, like, who do I want? with slow mo or with Jai actually. And I'm going to still not know what I want yet. The reason why I got down to two though, right? Slow-mo definitely with the game with the Hornets. But even watching him play in the zone defensively, we went to more of a zone with the Lakers a little bit. And they had him right in the middle of the zone, which I was like, why? But then his defense kind of funky because he's still playing slow motion defense, but really kind of there, kind of not. And then Ja would be for him, his performance and the win and then being there after the win to get up the shots. That's a leader. And that's something that you can't really teach. And so actually, I just talked my way into that one. Ja for sure. For that one, just with leading, I wish more guys, I think we would say Dylan Brooks and some other people, will get out there after games, win, lose, or draw, to put up more shots. Hopefully they are. But to see Ja do that was great. And also to see him on national TV was good to see. And him taking it right to Anthony Davis with that left hand was pretty awesome. So Ja for me.
Mm-hmm. And before Took goes, speaking on Ja, that was nice to see because normally he goes to Twitter right after the game, Saturday against the Pelicans. No, him and Zion are close, but, I mean, they're the first thing fans want to see. You posting a video of y'all two on Twitter. He's done that before in the bubble. So that was nice to see. I was like, oh, he growing up before our very eyes. He's actually going back out there. Not saying he hadn't been doing it, but to see it and not see you on Twitter was great to see.
It was good to see. Definitely good to see the show, his leadership, right? And that's all we've been wanting is a hungry, you know, Ja Morant. Like, you should – second, you've shown you can average 20 points, you know what I'm saying, so far for the rest of the season. Do it. The team needs you to do it. The team needs you to score right now. And also the person that feels that sense of urgency, Grayson Allen, like, you know, 23 points, 22. You know, he's feeling the sense of urgency. I think I'm not going to say we're getting back to bubble Grayson, but, you know, that consistency is there. And, like, I'm going to continue to say, like, I would rather him take 20 shots than Dylan Brooks. And they, you know, they shot the same amount, you know, in versus the Lakers. So, I mean, it is what it is. So, oh, they shot him out the same amount of time with the Hornets, too. So I guess Coach Jenkins is, you know, trying to get Grayson the ball, so there could be some kind of chemistry going, you know, with some kind of lineup on. But
speaking of Grayson, before we move on to the Sacramento Kings preview, I can't go without mentioning Bumani Jones. why is he slandering Grayson out the blue on Twitter? Like, what's the point in it?
Yeah, I need more context and clarity about that one as well. For why y'all might have a why. For me, and then maybe I can chime in. I'm trying to understand, is Grayson Allen big enough for Bomani Jones, or is Bomani Jones big enough to be slandering Grayson Allen? Like, Grayson Allen is not like a really true starting shooting guard in the NBA. So why so much slander about him?
It's like they won't let his pass go, what happened at Duke. And I'm like, that was like 4 years ago, bro. Like,
I'm not beefing with anybody publicly or privately. The name is Bomani. No. No.
You're right.
No.
I mean,
no.
Shout out to you, Took, but sometimes you beef with him without even trying to beef with him. Savage, our friend, very good friend, Savage, was blocked by Bomani. He's recently unblocked by him because he said he looked like the Andre Ingram guy that played for the Lakers a couple years ago. They had the big game. He said he looked like him. Hey, look. Like,
it's not our fault that you hurt.
But it's like, yeah.
And the fact that you went and unblocked them was like, hold on, why did I block you? Do you remember why you block people?
I know when I block people is because I just don't want to see on my timeline. Now I don't block. I like mute you on Twitter. You can mute somebody, so I like, okay, I just mute them. This is,
but I'm pretty sure Bomani, whatever his name is not following Savage. So it's like,
oh yeah, exactly.
He's sensitive, bro.
Right.
Oh, he's 25. He said last year, bro.
Come on. He's from Atlanta, I think. Like, bruh. I guess, do they check in Atlanta? Like, he couldn't come to Memphis, I'll tell you that.
Are they checking Atlanta?
I'm saying,
we
like.
They checking Atlanta. We playing here, though. It's a difference.
Wow. So, still, like, you took that. I don't know, man. That was funny, though. I ain't gonna lie. But Sacramento Kings game tonight. Got a couple notes. Sacramento's defense, I don't know what they're ranked, but I looked at like their last couple of games, last 10 games or so, at least 105 points or so they've been scored on in all games. So similar to the Grizzlies' defense, don't expect no defense in this game. Also, they are on a two-game losing streak. They are 12-13 now, as we are 10-11. So real big game. We went 1-3 against them last year. And expect De'Aaron Fox. You know, De'Aaron Fox went at y'all last year. I played y'all. Apparently, you know, Ja was a rookie. Like, now you ain't ready for me yet, young buck. And this year, don't expect that to go anywhere. De'Aaron Fox is averaging like 23 points a game, 6.7 assists. And Amina Hassan, as we mentioned on here before in the early episode earlier this year, Amina Hassan made some comments about De'Aaron Fox saying he's Ja Morant is what he thinks he is. And he responded to calling him a B word. So apparently, De'Aaron Fox is going to keep going at Ja. So it's time for Ja to take this matchup. Personally, like, De'Aaron Fox is going to continue to do it because he ain't stopping anytime soon. I'm taking this matchup personally.
Let me get this straight. Refresh my memory because I may be wrong. Wasn't it De'Aaron Fox that kicked Lonzo Ball's ass back in college? Am I thinking somebody else?
Yes, sir. That was him.
Whenever you call out De'Aaron Fox, like, he don't get a lot of recognition. But when you challenge him, he's going to go hard. And that's the reason I guess we can do a prediction. That's the reason I got Sacramento winning. Like, I don't see Ja with that same hunger that I see De'Aaron with. And I'm not saying that he won't get it. I'm not saying he got it. But De'Aaron's on a mission right now. Like, you talked about the two-game losing streak that the Kings are on. That's cool. But the three-game win streak that they just had against the Celtics, Nuggets, and the Clippers, I mean, good luck, Grizz. Like, I would love to see Ja Morant score more than De'Aaron Fox this game. So,
yeah. And I really enjoyed watching that Kings and what was that, the Nuggets game when the Joker had about 50.
Yeah.
That double-double. It should have been almost a triple-double. But if you watch that game, De'Aaron Fox was everything that the Joker had, De'Aaron Fox was responding well. And whether it was like putting up the shot with the floater or, you know, passing and getting the assist for a pocket pass to Harrison Barnes. Or even Buddy Hill being open, man. So I like what De'Aaron Fox is doing. I don't know if it's the haircut that's changed and transformed him this season or what have you, but I don't think – I'm pretty confident the Kings win the game. I'm putting it to you like that. I hope Ja has a good game, a bounce-back game, so to speak, but the Kings have a little bit too much for us right now, and I think they're hungry. Like Tuk just mentioned, they won 3 – they just lost 2. They're trying to pick back up. This is a team that's hungry to play in the playoffs, just like we are this year. And as they know, every win and every game does count. So I'm actually going to go to the Kings, unfortunately, for this one.
And it's just a matter of, like last year, we were better than them. Like the team, we're a better team. But they're a bad matchup for some reason. And I think it just starts with De'Aaron Fox and Ja because they are similar players. De'Aaron Fox is the same speed, get to the rim. I think Ja is more athletic than him, so Ja has more potential due to that. Both of them shooting has to get better. De'Aaron Fox has improved some. I know he was shooting threes against us last year, so Ja still needs to improve more in that category. So they are very similar players. I think De'Aaron Fox is a little taller and longer, so he's better on defense, and that's what hurts Ja, because Ja isn't as good on defense, so De'Aaron Fox could stop him while also scoring on him as well. And they kind of, like I said, the same kind of style of ball players. Then the rest of the team, the Kings kind of just outshoots us. Our defense is not good right now, so I expect Buddy Hill and Harrison Barnes, even he was lighting us up last year, too. Light us up again. So the Grizzlies are just going out there outshoot them, in my opinion, for this game, especially not fully healthy. And I had the Kings winning. Unfortunately, I had the winning we predicted last week as well. So, but going forward, this upcoming week, we have 4-game homestand, and this is big because a lot of these teams ain't good. I mean, we had New Orleans beat. We played them Tuesday on TNT, national TV. Let's beat them, finally. We're 0-4 against them. They're a bad matchup for us, too, but eventually we're going to have to overcome that. And this Tuesday is a good start. It's a home game. Then we play OKC Wednesday at home as well. OKC is 10-15, and they are on a 2-game losing streak as well, but their last loss came to the Lakers. Both games, they're overtime. And they're all their games are close. Let me put it that way. They They're feisty. They're in all their games. They're not Lu Dort. Hey, his defense, right? He's going a little bit of offense. They're not a team to sneeze at. SGA in the backcourt. Al Horford is having a little resurgence every year. Then after that, we play Detroit. Detroit has the third worst record, 7-19 on Friday. But Detroit, same thing. They beat the Lakers at home. Their wins are against some of the best teams. I think they beat the Lakers, the Jazz, the Clippers and stuff. And they're just a team. They catch you. If you take them lightly, they catch you. Jeremy Grant's averaging 20-something. Josh Jackson revenge game. Josh Jackson had a pretty good year.
Oh, you talking about somebody putting up 30. Oh, my God.
Right. He's having a good season, too, and he's on my fantasy team. That's why I know. So that game won't be no slouch. Although, like I said, we are better than those teams, even hurt. We should win those first three, but let's see. And also Saturday, we finish off playing against the Suns, who we beat on MLK Day. So they're going to be looking for some revenge as well. So 4-game homestand, what is y'all record for this week?
Yeah, the Pelicans, Thunder, Pistons, Suns. We gotta win three of those games. I think the loss is eventually, unfortunately, I think it'll be the Pistons. I think we're gonna win two. I think we beat the Pelicans and the Thunder. I think we lose because we look past the Pistons like every other team has, like the good teams have. And then we bounce back against the Suns again. And so that's like a sweep for the Suns for the 2 months. So give me that. Give me 3-1 with a loss coming against the Pistons, actually.
Man, that's kind of where I want to go, honestly. How long is Brandon Clark out?
Do we know? It's day to day. It's what injury is it? Is it his groin? Oh, it's calf. So ain't no telling. They might be resting him because you don't want that to linger and become an Achilles injury. Similar to what happened.
I hate to say it because I'm gonna put my basketball hat on, man. I got us going 1-3 again. The Pelicans, I don't know what it is. They just got our number. And right, the way that we're looking defensively, like we're missing two of our best defenders, you know, with Brandon Clark and De'Anthony Melton. And that's going to continue to be an issue, especially that's like a shark seeing, you know, just something lingering in the water. And it's like, oh, let me go get this one real quick. Like, you know, Brandon Ingram may put up 30 this game. You know what I'm saying? The Thunder, SGA may put up 30 on. Like, there's no telling, but somebody is going to have a good game for us to win because there is no perimeter defense. As of now, hopefully that could change in the next couple of games, but we'll see. So I got us losing the Pelicans game. I'm gonna roll with you, Sheedy, on the Pistons game, and I got us losing the Suns. I don't think we win twice against the Suns, especially without us being healthy. So I think we win against the Thunder and lose with the Pelicans, lose against the Pistons, and lose against the Suns.
Yep. I almost want to go 1-3. I agree with Sheedy. We need to go 3-1, but unfortunately, unfortunately, I don't see that. I'm gonna be on the more optimistic side and go between y'all and say 2-2. The Pelicans game, till I see it with my own two eyes, like I said, till I see two players get on the court and play, I won't believe it. Till I see us beat the Pelicans, I won't believe it. We're 0-4 over the last 2 years. I got to see them beat them before I say that we're gonna beat them.
We got it. We got it this time.
Yeah, that's a loss. I'll say we'll beat the Thunder second night off of back to back, but after losing the Pelicans, you can't lose the second night. You can't lose back to back. Honestly, and I'm gonna say this would be my bold prediction. If after we lose to the Pelicans, because I'm stitching that in stone, hopefully it don't happen, but sure. If we lose to the Thunder, we're going 0-4. So that's a must win for me, or for us to get to our 2-2 to my 2-2 prediction. So I'm predicting a win there. But if we don't win, I'm predicting 0-4. But give me the Pistons game.
You sound like me.
Yep. So give me that Thunder game. Because of that, they're going to wake up and take care of business against the Pistons and lose to the Suns to finish out the week at 2-2.
Gotcha.
Yep. So Like I said, just pray for this team. They need prayer for real. Definitely Desmond Bane needs prayer with his family situation. But all these injuries, man, it's really deflating. I mean, like, I hope. At some point, you need your players. Like I said, our defense is lacking because your best defenders are all out. Dylan Brooks is your best defender left. Literally.
And that's not saying too much.
Right. Like, and right? He's pretty good. Like, he plays fake defense, this and that, but he can't be your best. Like we say, he can't be your best.
Grayson Allen, step up for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. Step up, but, I mean, yeah. Man.
Yeah.
John Moran, step up for us.
I say Ja needs to too, because teams have been attacking Ja on defense. That's what they've been doing. To tire him out from offense. So it's gonna be tough, but eventually some players gotta come back, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Hopefully. I hope so.
Right, I hope so. But yeah. And that does it for this episode, man. So remember, follow us, Starting5, number 5 MEM. Follow the Greasy Bread Blues at SBN Grizzlies. Remember, listen to other podcasts on the podcast on Greasy Bread Blues Podcast Network on 3ND on Tuesdays, Core 4 on Wednesdays, and GBB Live on Thursdays. Remember, we start the week on Mondays. This week will be Sunday on Valentine's Day because the Grizzlies have a night game that day. And remember to follow me at the one underscore P Shark.
Yeah. Hey, let's go, Grizz. It's really cheesy.
Yep. Make sure y'all follow your man, Ed Tev Shakir, holding it down in the paint by myself, celebrating Valentine's Day. Shout out to the singles out there. You know what I'm saying? We're going to vibe too. It is what it is.
Yep. And remember to give a special birthday shout out to Skylito. Like I said, this recording comes out on Sunday. So if you hadn't told him happy birthday, it's on this air the day before. Tell him happy belated birthday.
There you go.
So remember, go Grizz, Grand City. Till next time, peace.
Peace.